and we constantly wanted to want to talk to assisting them with us. So we'll quickly give over to them, but before we do that, remember, while we're still eating meat, let us introduce ourselves. We'll start with those who are not eating, and then we introduce ourselves to those people that are going to be presenting to us. We're going to be telling you who they are very soon. We'll start with you, Makanye.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Tandiwe Kenye, member of the Health Training Committee for the Southern Eastern Cape. Thank you, bye-bye.
Everybody, my name is Norosi Sokali Desai. I'm a member of the committee.
Good morning. My name is Rebecca Makosa Masute. I'm the member of this committee. Rebecca Makosa. Makosa.
I'm Papi Kamara. I'm a member of this committee.
Thank you. My name is Hilda Sizayeli Kiri, the member of this committee, coming from KZN.
Dumela, I'm going to be talking to Patricia Kopani. I'm a member of this portfolio committee.
Good morning. I'm Denise Robinson, member of the Health Portfolio Committee. Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Sherman Dudley, an ACDP Member of Parliament and a member of this committee. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, members. These are members of Parliament. All of them, we've got to Chris. Okay, Chris.
Morning, everybody. My name is Monebo Feng, Christina Dube, known as Grace. Thank you. Member of this portfolio committee, but from my perspective.
Dumelum. You can see, Honorable Gatley, sometimes we forget even the others. I forgot that there was a member to them from Ashley.
Yeah, that's
okay. Okay, these are members of Parliament. They are actually the ones who are going on with this amendment. We wrote a letter from Uta Pranak that would want you to make a presentation. Fortunately, we've got the Department of Health here, who are the crafters of this. Actually sitting here. I can see you know some of the colleagues. I don't know what they're thinking so far. Maybe they're afraid of you, Dr. Rana. But in any case, we'll listen to you, and after listening to you, the members will ask you a few questions, and some of those questions are going to be answered by themselves. No, you'll be asking your questions, your concerns, and the department is going to be helping in actually clarifying those matters. So we give over to you. I think the letter is written here. That is Dr. Hiranak, the psychiatrist, Kitabo. Ranak. I don't know, but I've been with him for many years. He never told me anything beyond saying that he's Rangak. He was not even a doctor then. He didn't tell me what Rangak means. Oh, he's the hairdresser. Oh, he's Rangak. He didn't tell me that he had to be a doctor. But in any case, you can go ahead, Dr. Rangak. I didn't tell you who am I.
You are Dr. Gokwa.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Chairperson, and the esteemed guests, hosts and colleagues sitting behind me, give me a lot of confidence. I am Dr. Tavorana. I'm a medical practitioner, a psychiatrist, and a veteran member of the Next Democratic Movement from long, long ago, when we were trying to make things come to South Africa. Now we have them,
and I'm happy to be able to present to the parliamentary committee on the Mental Health Care Act, not completely, but from the point of view of the South African mental health services. But then I've heard that I'm the only person presenting, so I have to tell you about my other credentials. Besides being a principal psychiatrist at one military hospital, I'm an ex-president of the Society of Psychiatrists of South Africa, SASOP. And for that reason, I'm aware of the issues that need to also be touched in this kind of presentation. I represent the Surgeon General, Dr. General Vijay Ramlakhan, in as far as psychiatry is concerned, psychiatry and mental health is concerned, and we thought we should make sure of getting this particular meeting and ensure that the changes will make it possible for us to work together, the Department of Defense as well as the Department of Health. The Surgeon General of the Department of Defense, or of let me show you what the department looks like. Well, they say that they have vision that they want to have a health military community. The community includes the soldiers and they are dependent, and then also the retired soldiers and the military veterans. That is a health military community. And let me go to that part. The South African Military Health Services has the Surgeon General at the top, and it is one of the four segments of the Department of Defense. Department of Defense is under the Department of the South African National Defense Force on the one side, and a twin brother is the Department of Military Veterans, which is relatively new now since last year, which also has a huge responsibility in terms of health and welfare care of the military veterans. Then it says, under the discussions, the Spartan National Defense Force, we have the Navy, the Air Force, and the Army, Land Forces, and we also have the unit called the South African Military Health Services. The South African Military Health Services has the responsibility to provide health support to the Army, the Air Force, and the Navy, and of course its own members. So there are people that we treat or that we look after, what I call here the clients. It's the SNDF as a whole, and then we've got secondary clients, the state dispensation in general. It will be the ex-president and their descendants, their families, the VIPs in general, and the central government members who choose to go to the military health services and other departments, that is the provincial departments and so on. And then people from local authorities who choose to come to us, and other clients that are approved by National Treasury. Some of them, or most of them, would be people from outside of the country, from France, Switzerland, and the rest of Africa. So those are the clients that we have under the under the stand. So the issue I wanted to point out was that under the Surgeon General, the structure is that we have the area military health formation, which is the same as the rest of South Africa, really. Wherever you have members who join the SANDF, you have they can go to, they are under the area military health formation. Then there's the territorial military health formation, which has three hospitals, the one military hospital in Victoria, which is the biggest and oldest, and it handles all difficult problems from Tunil, which is
in Cape Town and female, which is in Bloemfontein. So those hospitals rely on one limited hospital that can send people there for temporary care. Should send them there for temporary care. But you may know that the private sector actually benefits much more from services from the South African Health Services, from our clients, than a lot of them are not actually treated by ourselves. That is the mental health support formation, which is the secretariat kind of thing, and then there's the mobile formation, and they go out to the borders and also organize external missions to the DRC and other places. And then the mental health training formation, which focuses on training people to become like health assistants and nurses and other caterers of healthcare. And then there's the general support base, which supplies the products, or rather anything we need, the weapons, the beds, and so on. So that is the outline of who the South African Ministry of Health Services are and where the Surgeon General comes in. So my assessment or my sense is that the Surgeon General in all years from 1901 until now actually has the same position as that of the Minister of Health, possibly lower than the Minister of Health. He should be considered the Director General in the South African Military Health Services, but not in the Department of Defense. So there's a bit of a confusion in that area that I want to put to this committee. The Surgeon General position has to be understood with respect to the responsibility that he or she has. There's never been a woman Surgeon General. So the responsibility has to be acknowledged. And the other thing about the responsibility of the South African Minister of Health Service and the Surgeon General is that when everything goes wrong, when the Minister of Health can't keep his or her soldier going, if they're doing primary health care and health care, looking after the people at the doing the strike, that is when the commander-in-chief, the president, instructs the military to assist the Department of Health to keep health services going. So that is a fallback position, or that is the standard of health services, the South African Military Health Services is that. So hitherto, I think it was its position or place in the Health Act and in the Mental Health Care Act. Has been unclear. It's not specified so that it becomes easy to for the Surgeon General, for instance, to have the confidence to step forward and do what he knows has to do in collaboration with the Minister of Health and possibly with the Commander in Chief, depending on how the hierarchy works at that level. The points that I want to now bring forward on, which unfortunately I've not put them on my slide up to now, have to do with the Mental Health Care Act itself. It is based on it is supportive of the Health Act, but it specializes on mental health care. This one of 2002, it was received with enthusiasm because of the fact that it was protective of patient rights and care, and it remains like that. And what from the primarily from the doctor's point of view, like especially from the Society of Psychiatrists of South Africa point of view, what has been the problem was that it took too long for what the director has to do is to prepare those principles or whatever to activate the law, and it did not happen. It took too long for that to come out in the mental health care. So that was a period of a huge confusion between the time of 2002 and the time that the, I need to call them a couple of government, the words that have, that's it. The young men are good to have around, and the old men can't remember the regulations. It took too long for them to come out. And in that time, there was a huge confusion between the 1973 one and the new one. So the transition from the one to the other was very slow and confusing. So that most practitioners in particular private practice resorted to using the old one in violation of the new one, but in the interest of patient care, because getting patients to be admitted, etc., became difficult, and lots of people would run away from the responsibility of ensuring that a patient who becomes psychotic is handled appropriately according to the regulations of the new Act. So what we have identified as the organization, as a particular of psychiatrists, is that there has to be a change in the regulations that make it as easy as possible for people to be certified if they are mentally ill, so that we do not have general practitioners, for instance, shying away from that responsibility because they do not understand the new regulations. That has been a problem. Regarding the psychological services, the definition of the definitions were found to be a problem, that in the definition there's no specific mention of the fact that we have a single health service, the Department of Health, the Minister of Health, the Minister of Health, as Dr. Mantoswala is the Minister of Health of public and private and business and everything. The Minister of Health, everywhere health is a good thing. But in most situations and in the definition, the Department of Defense or the fact of the existence of the South African Military Services has not been touched to the extent that when we talk about what happened then was that the Department of Defense in itself behaved as one of my mentors said in the sense was that the NDS behaved as a tenth province of South Africa. In other words, they are aware of the act and the regulations regarding mental health care in South Africa and so on, but they stand back and do their own thing, so to speak. Sometimes doing it with trepidation, knowing that they may be breaking the law in as far as the Mental Health Care Act is concerned, but at the same time, concerned that they have to give a service to this special group of people that I mentioned, because well, you know, you have secrecy also involved in the way that the mental health care systems work, because we deal with high-profile people that do not be referred easily to just copies that contain mental hospital. So if a VIP becomes sick, then he or she gets hidden in private hospitals and so on, when they actually should be coming, or we should be handling them ourselves. And when we do handle them, we handle them under the general health services, as if they are medical users. They are not to get these users. They are just general health users, not mental health care users. So we believe that we should have a definition. In definitions, we should include the mention of the South African Ministry of Health Services, and it's important
the same general should lead then conference to step forward and do what he has to do in terms of the mental health care of our patients. Then the other part has to do with the designation of health establishment. There has been a lot of questions as to whether the military hospital, military health services in general, our area military clinics and hospitals, whether all of those in the South African military services, whether all those are state. Now, I don't know why there was that confusion, because they are obviously state, but there has always been a question as to whether military health services are part of state and can be included when we talk about the designation, I mean the designation of health establishment, that the head of the, that is under section 5, clause 1 of the national department must, with concurrence of the head of the relevant provincial department, do something. So we need to mention there that the Surgeon General of the Department of Defense of the South African Military Health Services must be specifically mentioned. Otherwise, we have to assume that the Surgeon General is the provincial department head, or that the Surgeon General is the head of the national military health services. But then we get the dichotomy there, or a division of powers which is not health. Because the Department of Health, Minister of Health, must be at the top of health services, and include correctional services, military services, and all our special subgroups where we've got federal communities that have to be treated. Provisional, yeah. So I think those are the two crucial areas that I wanted to put to the committee. The one is the head of national department, or rather so that the hospitals of the military or the health services, South African military services, it must be mentioned specifically as part of state health care facilities. And then the other one, that the head of the national department we have to include the Surgeon General somehow here, either as equivalent to that head or as equivalent to the relevant provincial department. Most likely it's going to be a relevant provincial. That way we then call the military the province of South Africa. But at least let us bring it in, to be under the Department of Health and not allow it to remain a temporary doing what it considers to be. And then most of the time the people that lose out are the users, patients that are supposed to be managed with alacrity. That does not happen because there's a doubt as to whether we should do a 72-hour observation of the patient ourselves. And we often do, actually, we do observe the patient and then we negotiate with the hospital of the copies. Okay, we have done this, but we do have, I guess, 1 minute of hospital. We have 4 patients. So we are able to do what the COVID can do, or rather what Steve Biko Hospital can do in terms of the care of mental health care users. So bringing them for 32 hours, according to the Act, we do that, and then we send them to Steve do the skill, and they do the thing. They observe it yet again, and they send them on to their COVID hospital. Another thing about the patients is that they are soldiers. The majority of patients, the majority of the mental health care users in the French are dependent, because the wives are left behind and the children, the adolescents, etc., etc. There's always a problem in the families of our soldiers, because they go to deployment in the DRC, so they end all that, they come back and there's always disruption. So the majority of our patients are the dependents, and very few of the soldiers themselves are our patients. So
what we need to be aware of then is that we should be able to handle them as the 1, 2, and 3 military hospitals handle our clients in the same way that the relevant or the provincial hospital would have done. Look after the patient, do the 24-hour observation, and send them to the regional or local local mental health care facility. And then the issue of violence by our members is also pertinent, because there are soldiers, when they are in an environment that has other soldiers and that has their superiors, like me, I'm called a lieutenant colonel, so when they see me in uniform, they respect me more than when they see me wearing a hat, because they are afraid that I might punish them somehow or something. Then they respond, they behave differently. And then also, their violence and aggression is contained more easily, but it would not be easy in if we go to hospital, for instance, to contain them when they are very violent during the time that they need their 24-hour observation. We can do the 24-hour observation and cool them down, but then what's the point of turning them off for the rest of the hours when we have the personnel and the specialists to actually do the work in full at 1, 2, and 3 minutes at a hospital. That is the issue that I wanted to put to the committee on that, so I will send back and listen to questions or issues that may arise.
Thank you, Tabanga. Members, I think what is part of the essence of I think there's something that was picked up in the old law on that. That it was very cumbersome and it was giving a lot of work to the Director General of the Department of Health nationally. So it was felt that there must be amendments to the law because it was an act. And mainly it was allowing the Director General to be able to delegate to other people so that the work could happen with health service delivery. That's one part. The other part is to repeal other errors that have got to do with the board. Basically, that's what has been crafted by the department and it has been sent to us. And the procedure is that we go for public comments, we advertise this bill, and we allow people to comment, and we can either entertain the comments or just do them. Now, here is a comment coming from Sam via Dr. Ranak. I think it is very clear what he's trying to say, that they've not in fact have been quite well, and probably there's a little bit of misunderstanding as to what is going on in the military service. So he wants those two or three suggestions to be factored in before this amendment goes through. Whether that fits in with what we're trying to do, or it does not fit in, but it's something that they've observed. So, fortunately, we've got the Department of Health with us, who are the crafters of the bill. They did not introduce themselves, but I know the DG. The DG should tell us who is here with her, and then we can start the interrogation so that we can decide whether we think this is relevant to in this jail now, or it's not relevant. If it's relevant, do we put it in, or do we convince Dr. Ranaga that it is not necessary, but it's something that we'll decide later. But now it's just a fact-finding mission. Having listened to him, what he's saying is very important for him, and we must take it as important as he thinks it is, and deal with it with that level of importance. Maybe let me allow you to tell us who are you with, and then we'll come back to the Honourable Member.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members.
Good morning. I'm here with the Department of Health team. My name is Precious Malvana Precious Matufo. I'm here with Mel Freeman, who is responsible for non-communicable diseases, including mental health services, and our advocate. And here I wish to introduce our lawyer, appropriately. She's a nurse, but also a lawyer. It's Ms. Agnes Mabusha. We also have our parliamentary officers, and who are based here from the Minister's Office and Deputy Minister's Office, and the Minister's Media Liaison Office. Thank you very much.
Okay, members, that's it. Welcome, because I thought you were going to sit next to Dadekhana, being the only male. I see you very far from you. No, we need to put Free State in one corner. Zala demanded. Now, obviously, I was left behind. Okay, I saw your hand, but this is time for, okay.
Thanks, Dr. Mine is not a question. It's just I need to clarify. When the doctor addressed us at the beginning, he said the minister is the minister of health throughout the country, be private, general, or whatever economic minister. Now the question is, how do they operate as military? For me to be able to ask questions is that how do they operate from the point of sight of military around the protocol of the country? That there's a minister, there are MECs, and blah, blah, blah. Because I get the sense that when it says there's a confusion, I'm also confused. So I don't know who's going to answer this question for me as to, according to them in military, are they not regarding the minister as head, then there's the DG who's national, so that this one that is trying to raise, maybe I personally should be able to understand and be able to help around who is who according to them. And that's a question for clarity.
Thanks very much. I think the question is where the power lies. Where is the power? Okay, honorable.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation. As we have alluded, the real gist of the matter in this amendment bill is lies on the delegation of powers and in something to do with the board. But like Honorable Dube has asked, maybe to add on what she has said, how is that relation between the military defense, in particular, as health-related matters with the Department of Health? I'm asking this because when I look at it is a department, but in that department there is a health arm. I'm expecting the health arm to work with the Department of Health. Just like in correctional service, there is a health arm whereby the health of the prisoners are being taken into consideration. I would like, how do we operate? How do we work? What is the working relationship? Because I'm expecting that arm to be working with the Department of Health. I'm not the minister. Thank you, sir.
Okay, I see Zala.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you to the presenter. I don't know whether it's a question or request, but it might be both. From the Department of you, introduced the non-military hospitals and made them to be state hospitals, as they are not enough. Some provinces have none. Because these patients are
all over the world. Thank you.
Thank you. That's a slightly different question. But seeing no other.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is not specifically in terms of the presentation, but I'm just a little concerned because in terms of this amendment, there's not really a special comment from other stakeholders, but if you read the memorandum, many departments and bodies have been consulted. So maybe the question that we also need to ask ourselves, for people not interested or people didn't understand about the amendment, maybe that is the other key issue that we need to ask ourselves. Thank you, Chair.
Or maybe this amendment is something that should have been done long time ago, and they agree that it must be done. Okay, Honourable Dennis.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Dennis. Follow on from this. I also wanted to ask a question. Where exactly was this advertised, the fact that there were hearings? Because I've spoken to a couple of people who seem to be unaware of it, and I'd just like to know that the process was well advertised and that we should have their input. Thank you.
That one is going to be answered around this table. Definitely not by me. I'm not that educated to answer that one, but it's going to be answered in this table. Okay, Honourable Dan.
Thank you, presenter, for what he shared with us. Perhaps we could ask him, as he obviously linked, or can we ask if you are obviously so linked to SAFOP, and are you aware of how much focus they are putting on all of these dangers? I see that they reserve the right to make any further comments, because obviously it helps us if we can know that they are keeping an eye on that, because we're not obviously in mental health specifically, so that would be an important thing if we can actually be assured that they will be keeping an eye. I assume, perhaps you can tell me, that the South African Society of Psychiatrists is broadly representative of people within the industry, so that we are quite sure that we have actually accessed stakeholders' attention. Thank you.
I think we were dealing with a specific issue, which is about the bill. But sometimes we are going to go over some of the mental health issues. So because we're lucky, we got only one comment that is coming from the public. So we've got enough time even to handle those. So I think people should feel free to ask even other things that they think are something like the question that has come, and the other natural thing that the shortage of military institutions around the country. So I'm just allowing you because we've got enough time. Okay, Mr. Okay.
Thank you for the presentation. My question is only, I was a bit confused when Dr. says that he thinks that the 10th province of South African National Defense Force must not be allowed. But at the same time, in the submission on the paragraph, fourth paragraph, it is said that in the second they say that the head of National Department, the conference of the head of the relevant regional department, must specify that the Surgeon General of the SAMS is included as head of provincial department. Now I'm confused whether you say it is so relevant to have that 10th province in South Africa in the South African Medical Practice Force, but as also this is contrary when we are talking about now the Surgeon General of the SAMS to be included as the provincial department head. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think Itabo, we're going to give over to you, but I suspect some of the answers are going to come from the department, because the main key question is about the relationship between SEMS and the Department of Health. So we'll allow the department to make their own comments too and answer. There are other questions that are not belonging to you. We're going to be answering those.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm extremely happy about that, the Director General of Health is here. I don't know, I think it was 2005 or so, the Minister of Defense, Honorable Telekota, and of Health, Simang Bantasarala, they signed something, an agreement of understanding and so on. It exists in the paper. So, the recognition that the time and the old age are crucial partner in health services. But there was no, I think there is no definite statement that ensures that the fund is under the Department of Health. It has to be under the Department of Health in the same way as we can't expect anybody else to do defense, we can't expect them to do the National Health Services. So I'm sure that my patients also will be able to clarify on that issue. But definitely, the so-called tenth province of South Africa will continue to exist forever. If you can reduce other provinces, it will remain because military health is a permanent part of our nation. So it must be properly placed under the Department of Health, you know, far as health ministers are concerned. And then, so I think that answers it. But just a small answer to me who asked about hospitals that are not enough. That is why I thought it was a good idea for the Minister of Defense in the past and the Minister of Health to sign an agreement of understanding that patients, wherever they are, for instance, the whole of Natal has no military hospital. And that is an anomaly. 6 million plus people there, and many of them are soldiers and families. Durban has no military hospital. Perhaps it should have had it. I don't know what was agreed to in Kodeva. There's no military hospital in Natal, Kodeva. And obviously, in the Eastern Cape, there should have been a hospital. So patients travel long distances to Bloemfontein from the Eastern Cape, and some of them travel to Pretoria from the Eastern Cape for care. And definitely from Natal, they travel to otherwise, the agreement made it possible for them to go to the local hospital, but then the local hospital sends an account to the Department of Defense. And that is not, I suppose that also was covered there. Members will be able to clarify on that one. As far as, maybe I'll ask about the book, the Society of Psychiatry for South Africa, the biggest group of psychiatrists in South Africa organized very properly. We've got more than 400 members of psychiatrists, and psychiatrists are very few in South Africa. But no rival psychiatric organization will be able to speak on behalf of psychiatrists in the public sector and also in the private sector. And of course also in the military health services. So psychiatrists all get together and they talk, and definitely they're keeping what's going on, they're keeping track of what is going on with the Health Care Act, and they do interact with the press, with the Department of Health. They had a talk or a session together last month or early this month with the Deputy Minister of Health about mental health issues. So there is, they implement psychiatry and mental health very well. As to how we got the access, we've got an organization, we have a very able group of managers called Healthmen. Healthmen, they do the Secretary of Services for us, and they are always looking at what's going on anywhere. So they suddenly sent me this email that took at this and responded to it, and I took it because I've said this. I mean, 2006 was documents here showing that we intend to sort out the problem of ensuring that the Surgeon General or that military health services are actually specified as state hospitals, and also that we can then do the 2-hour observation and behave like all other state hospitals. So when I felt, and I also saw that it says there that the public hearings will take place 27th February, 6th and 13th of March. So I assume that other people will do presentations on the 3rd of March. and sorry, on the 6th of March and the 30th of March, that is what is on the advert. So I hope I answered the lady that asked about the, I don't know where Heaven got this, whether it was from a newspaper or what, but they sent it to us. Thank you.
I think that your last answer is going to be coming from the field. So how do we make our address and what media do we use to do that? But thanks for giving us that information, how you got it. Again, before we go into that, can we ask the department to add, especially where do the power, where are the powers? Are they within the Department of Health or within the military service? The impressive part is that even the Department of Correctional Services, they've got a lot of health issues. I'm not sure where do they fit in. Because they've got patients, they've got doctors, they've got nurses that are working there. Maybe you could clarify us even on that one.
Well, thank you, Honorable Member. But I want to raise a few points and refer members to the National Health Act. The National Health Act establishes a National Health Council and a technical advisory committee of the National Health Council. The National Health Council is actually a council that is chaired by the Minister of Health. The members of that council are the provincial MEC, STEM, and SAUDA. And this is the highest body that is established in law that determines policy. Now, SAMS is part of that, is a member, and it's established in law. So any policy, any proposal for legislation gets endorsed in that council. So I would advise that the input of SAMS would come as part of National Health Council, because the National Health Act actually specifies that SAMS is a member. And my advice is that the Surgeon General is actually a member of our council. And it's the Surgeon General that gives input and advises us what is it that is relevant to SAMS and what is it that is not relevant to SAMS. So that has been a process that has been followed. And for correctional services chair, it's true that there are services that are rendered in correctional services. We have a draft MOU on how we should work jointly with correctional services. The way services are run here, it's with the support of the provincial department. But it is the provincial department then bill the correctional services for any services that they render themselves. But then also have in its employment officials who are health workers that render services in their own, meaning you get services from the Department of Health in the provinces, but you also get services that are rendered in sense and self-employed officials. So we're actually currently in discussions between ourselves and correctional services at their department. We're currently in discussions and we're working on an MOU. And with regard to the MOU, because we collect these monies on behalf of provincial departments for payment, because they've been complaining that they've rendered services and it's not been paid by correctional services. That's a support function that we provide. As you know, provincial governments also have their own statutory mandate to enter into those relationships with other government departments. But for terms, I would just like to say that there is a legal provision that establishes a formal relationship. So any policy, any law is endorsed by the council.
Thank you.
The rest of the other questions or the consultations that were raised by members as to how wide did we consult, Professor Freeman would answer that. But my expert, both the lawyer and the nurse, also have something to raise with regard to the constitutional provisions and relationships between different government departments.
Maybe before you come a lawyer and an advocate. Is this advocate or not advocate? Okay, lawyer and a nurse. Can we quickly inform the members what was done for the advert and what media was used? Would you help us? Or can you, would you want to be able to?
Thank you. The person, though, I was still consulting with my manager, but what I know is that it was the advertised on four languages. Was just waiting for an SMS to tell me exactly on which newspapers was the text sent to.
That's a text, and we are so unfortunate that the secretary for the committee is on leave. She is, I'm not sure whether she is still writing except, but there's something that is going on. And now she has requested somebody to stand on her behalf. Unfortunately, obviously, he doesn't know a lot of things. What happened is that there were newspapers that the address was sent. All the newspapers, your city press, and the newspapers that are local newspaper offices, it was sent to. I know in the same case, it was the Daily Dispatch. It was sent to Cape Agassiz, Cape Town. I can't remember the others. And they went to the radio. And in the radio, they used the languages, the four languages. Is it four languages? Yeah, they used those four languages. So it was in the radio, it was in the paper. And that's what they usually do. It tells me that some people never got it. But the interesting thing is that before the bill comes to Parliament, even the department does some others and what they want public comment. The interesting thing is that even with them, there are not many public comments, if there were any. Showing that it either people feel that this is something that should have been done some long ago, or it's not something that is impacting that much, or it's going to be very positive as far as service delivery is concerned. So we don't know, but we don't want to think that all the processes that were supposed to be done were done before we came to this stage of having public comments coming to us. Okay, I can give over to you. Maybe the other part that probably you would need to help us, I think DJ mentioned it. She mentioned that in correctional services, there's a lot of services that are done by the Department of Health, the public health department, I mean the public health area, where they deal with the correctional services. But at the same time, they've got their own staff, which is internal in the correctional services, which do healthcare services. The interesting thing with SEMS is that SEMS mainly is more internal in the defense force. And sometimes we do know that some public patients get taken to the military hospitals to be handled there, even if they're not military patients, like the king of Portsmouth was actually died in 1 mil. It was 1 mil or 3 mil, but he died in one of those hospitals. And he's not a soldier, he's not a public somebody. But for security reasons, it was good that he goes to that area. Do you bill them, and what happens to the money? Oh, because it's like a province. The provinces, they render services for everybody, so they don't bill anybody. How would that be working? So maybe before you come, let's allow the advocate, the next, and the lawyer, two professors in one.
Thank you. I'm just going to talk to the applicable provision in terms of the constitution. We have got schedule 4 of the constitution, which gives the concurrent state jurisdiction on the provision of health to both the national and provincial departments. And then section 44 gives the national department broad powers to provide a legislative framework with regard to provision of healthcare services in the country. And the national department, of course, in terms of Schedule 4, has got the powers also to provide a policy framework in that regard. Because the constitution, it speaks to everyone in the country. So it doesn't matter whether, it's military or it's the temperance or correctional services or whatever, as long as they are within the Republic of South Africa,
they will be governed by the broad political framework as well as the legislative framework provided by the National Department of Health.
Thank you very much. I think I'm not sure of members whether this is clear, but if you're trying to make sure that it's okay. But I think at the end we'll have to summarize what Dr. Ramnath came for to see whether it fits in with us before he goes in to know that. So I'm not sure. Do you still have some questions or clarities, or are you satisfied with the answers or follow up? I'm looking at you, members. Okay,
please. So, maybe because we all got a clarity, or maybe one can say, I'm convinced that what the department has said is really what is supposed to happen, that everybody falls into the ambit. Now, as of the presentation, we appreciate it, but because of the end of the day, according to me, because they are covered somewhere. The only thing is that, you know, the link, the working relationship must be intensified so that the people should understand their role and who to talk to and when to talk. I think I'm partly clarified, or I'm clarified, not partly. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Margaret. At least you're taking us forward. Are there any other comments, members? Makeni?
I think my comment will be around the issue of really increasing the number of research hospitals. As Dr. Isaac explained, really what we see, the long distances of hospitals. Because even my nephew is a soldier. When he was mentally ill, he was being transferred. It took a long time for him to be transferred from Eastern Cape to Pretoria. So I think really there's a need for more military hospitals. Because there are many provinces, but we have a few, and most of them are on the far end of the country. Thank you, sir.
Honorable Goldman.
Thank you, Chairman. I appreciate the explanation that has been done by the GD, but the something that's coming to my mind is it's clear that France is covered by the National Healthcare Council. But now the question that is not clear, whether the presence of some has really opened the issues of some, that is the other question. Because if really she or he was representing the interest, you know, the interest of the military, I think we have such a discussion where today Dr. That somewhere somehow they are not part of the bigger, you know, part of the family. I think that's where sometimes we need to clarify that. Thank you,
sir. Thank you, Nakoba. I think the question is very straightforward. If I can go back to the past, I'm a cross Christian. If I can go back to the past, there's a time when there was, I don't know, when there was a lot of rainfall during Noah. Now they sent a van to go and look and see whether the water has gone down. And when it got there, I think the problem is the language. I read my Bible in Kosa. So it's Zungulu, when the crow went down, and when it got there, it actually had forgot that it was there. Until they sent the dove, it's the dove that came back and forgot there. So the question is this a dove or is this a crow? That is the second general. Is this a dove? Do you think it comes back with the information or it doesn't come back with the information? Why do we have to have this misunderstanding? You know, I'm not a scholar, I'm a speaker.
Thank you,
Chairman.
I think
about the number of hospitals, I think there's no need for there to be more, because it's supposed to be a working relationship between France and the Department of Health. In other words, the regional hospitals in Durham, et cetera, all of them have to work together to seek the patients, process them, and send them on without sending a bill to the Department of Defense, because we never send a bill for protecting the country. Everybody does protect free of charge. And So I think it's the only need, but we, according to the World Health Organization, the needs are identified by the Minister of Health, that there must be a primary health care approach to the care of patients globally. We do not have to focus on tertiary health services, but on primary health care services, which the fund is able to do in its area, but all in collaboration with the Department of Health. So probably there has to be more of a push from the Department of Health and to harness this energy that the Department of Defense or the Senate have to do the right thing, because they have been struck. I think the Department of Health has been struck, the provincial states, including the Surgeon General, that certain things have to be done. Common health care has to be promoted. Thank you.
I don't think it's going to be easy to answer your question, Honorable Robert. But I suspect it's something that we've got to take it up to them.
You know, asking whether my boss does his work, and I'm not going to comment on it. The public can see.
He might have tried to protect him, but he doesn't have to answer that question. That leaves it to your boss, so you never know what can happen. Sometimes when you bring it down, the difference between the military services and the public health, I think the main difference, both of them, they belong to the public, but the main difference is the security and the non-security. That when you think that something has got to be totally settled, it has to be handled by them. As against the public, much as we've got to start, the professionals have got to start certain things that I will not die, but I will not do this, I will not do this. But when it comes to them, it becomes more, there's a lot of secrecy that goes around, and it's understandable that there must be secrecy around what goes on there. I think that's the most different. But I think Chris has actually summarized what you came in the Savannah with some concern around the amendments. But it seems as if those amendments have been handled at the level of the National Health Council. Though it's not directly mentioning the firms, the military services, but it's something that has been handled at that level. But the issue that may, as a committee, the procedure is that we listen to everybody who got concerns. There are no concerns that are not relevant. There are no concerns that are more relevant than the other. So, after we've heard you, there's going to be a day where we're going to be sitting as members of Parliament. We're looking at all the people that have commented, and we look whether they're relevant or not relevant, and we try and do the and make the bill such that it suits all those comments that have been coming. Because it's the government of the people, by the people, for the people, and all the laws that we're making should cover the people. So we thank you very much. Unless there's something that you want to say, you can say, I'm giving you that opportunity because you are my classmate.
Yes, thanks. We will associate with it works in the future. I accept that things are covered. Now, like the question that asked about the surgeon general, who is asked? We, the healthcare provider, the so-called cold face, ask what is the National Council doing? Because this is an area which the National Council should have handled by now, that is, the National Health Council should have handled by now. And so my request would be that the committee consider including just a little piece here in this part that comes out the head of National Department must, the section 5, with the concurrence of the head of relevant provincial department. You specify provincial department and you exclude the things. I think if you just put in the South African services there, then it will be clear to the Surgeon General that he has certain responsibilities to make lack of delivery of services, where people stand back and say, we're not sure where we are, we're not mentioned specifically, are we really or are we not a state? Perhaps in the regulations from the Department of Health, or in the meeting where the DG of Health meets our Surgeon General, they can give them a certificate that they say you are state hospital, and then you are a member. You're an important person in terms of determining or ensuring proper mental health care. If it is not mentioned, then we remain where we are, where it is assumed that we are in or that we are out. Thank you.
I think this is what you have said is important. We're going to look at it because we're going to look at it clause by clause.
Yes.
And then we'll definitely consider that. And I'm sure you will be informed as to what's happening. Though it's not your role to inform you, but you'll be informed as to what is going on.
One crucial thing, and I think you should remind me, one crucial thing in advertising anything for the Department of Health or through health services, I think contacting SAMA, private medical association, and contacting staff when it's mental health issues, and nursing associations, and so on, directly. It makes them feel loved and accepted by the Department of Health. It's because when you're advertising this paper in foreign ways, and you don't inform us directly that guys, we are talking about something that is of great importance to you, then you know that you feel good when you receive a letter, an invitation, that please consider this thing and come and make a presentation. Thank you.
So thanks, Sam, for that comment. What usually happens is that when there's a bill that comes to us, we look at all the stakeholders, people that are relevant to that particular bill, and they get contacted. I think in this situation, nobody thought about SAMA, much as it has got to do with them. I'm not sure whether it was not sent to them, probably it might have been sent, I don't know. But I think you are making relevant for that it should be sent to them. But what they looked at was that it's just an amendment in the mental health care bill, and it was sent to certain areas, thinking that they are the ones who are in the past. But now that you mentioned half of them, it's something that we're going to consider. No, thank you very much. If there are no further questions, members, I think we are almost towards the end, and we'll be meeting next week, again looking at the bill and trying to finalize it so that it goes on, and we'll consider all this. I'm not sure whether, DJ, you want to say something in as we're coming towards the end.
No. Yes, sir. I would, if you allow us, I would like us to recognize that we have collaborative arrangements and partnership with different government departments. SAMHS and SAHPRA are the only departments which are mentioned expressly in the National Health Act. And that vehicle needs to be recognized, because we have formal resolutions that are passed, and would ask you that if National Health Council has passed a resolution, and if the provincial health department has to implement it, it's a resolution of council. But also, we need to also respect that those government departments have their own laws and policies that govern them. For instance, the South African Defence Force has its own laws, and we have to recognize that whatever we do is in recognition of it. And I want to set an example, Chair. In instances where the witness is in the health center, we rely on the South African Military Health Services to provide support. And I'll try to put an example. When we had a strike, for instance, it is the Military Health Service that provided the human resources in the areas that were affected to provide those services. During the World Cup and other major events, it is the Military Health Services that provide support. And in those instances, they deal us, like you're asking, so they also give us a check to say you have to pay a because of... So I think we need to recognize that there are those formal arrangements. But I also don't think it's proper for us to say Sarawak and military health services must fall under health, because it's a government, a department with different arms. You have the Navy, you have aviation, you have the Army, you have military health services. Each of them have a for a purpose. And it is the purpose that we need to recognize, because what is the purpose and what is the relationship be between the Sarawakian military health services and health, and how can we improve that relationship if we think that it's necessary. But I think it will be it will be problematic also if suddenly somebody sees every aspect of health made subservient to national department. I think it's more collaborative kind of partnership than this subservient arrangement, which I think is a bit of a concern on our part.
So thank you very much. I think in trying to close, I think there was a comment made by Utabo, which is, you never seen it, a certain general was a female. I think it's something that you should look into, especially when we talk about 50-50. There is something about regulation. I think the Parliament makes laws, and doesn't make laws, even the regulations that are coming out of that, they should have an access to that. But it is said that Parliament usually delegates the judgment to go on with the regulation. But I think in South Africa or in this National Assembly, there has not been a formal delegation towards departments to do that. But it's something that is being looked at as I am talking, whether it should be. But these are some of the things that we're going to be looking at. I'm making this comment because you talked about regulations that late and so on. So I think it's still a baby of Parliament to look into those things. I think it's not only you, madam, with two professions. Even Tabo got two professions. He's a soldier, said as a colonel, whatever you call it. And on the other side, he's a doctor, he's a psychiatrist. So you've got two professions. Probably even myself, I think I've got two professions. But I don't think that matters. So can you call it today? Can you call it today? I don't know if you talk a lot here because this one has got camera. Unlike the other rooms that usually we don't have cameras. This one has got camera. I don't have to talk a lot. And let's go and wait for the budget. The budget of the great enough budget for health, the budget for parliamentarians, the budget for health enough. Thank you very much, members.